Lord Jesus, we are excited to be in your house today. You are a real God with real purposes. And Lord, we haven't come here to be entertained. We've come here to join your activity in us. Your activity in us. So God, let us hear clearly what we can do together. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. I'm so thankful to see each and every one of you here today. How many of you are glad to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has got something that he wants to give you no matter who you are? How many of y'all glad to know that? Come on, work with me today. Now we're going to get down with it today. Guess what? I'm going to show you some of the things I believe. You were brought here today for a purpose. Did you realize that? Some of you thought, well, I just got up and decided to go to church. Who got you up? How many of y'all got up this morning and said, I'd rather sleep? And you came anyway. Yeah, thank you for being honest. Hey, by the way, you know, I haven't had that happen here at Hillview. But there was other churches that I pastored. And one of them, I had to teach Sunday school at 9:30. And we didn't live too far from the church. And a lot of times my wife would wake me up at 15 after 9. And she said, you really need to be there since you're one of the associate pastors. And I was like, I don't want to go. So I want to tell you some things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful to be your pastor. And we're gonna put this thing together, man. And God's going to do some great things. And today I got to challenge you a little bit. Y'all ready to be challenged a little bit? Hey, if you don't get challenged, you don't grow. What do you think? If you don't get challenged, you don't grow. What I'm talking about today is two words. Faith forward. Faith where? Forward. Your faith does no good sitting there. Faith's got to be moved. You all know I'm a big lake guy. And we have a slogan up on the lake. We call it a boat sitter. And a boat sitter, what they do is they just like go to the lake and sit on the boat. They don't move much. They don't do much. And we call them boat sitters. Well, you know what? I got to thinking about that when I heard that up here at the lake. Especially some of these guys that have houseboats. When it's real windy, the masterful thing is you can still get yours out. And some won't get theirs out. Like me, because I don't want to crash everybody else's. And they'll go, you're being a boat sitter. But you know what? I got thinking about that term. How many church sitters we got? How many church sitters we got? I know we got a lot in America, but I'm not really worried about America. I'm worried about Hillview Heights Church. How many church sitters do we have here? I'm just going to sit and kind of make sure everybody does it. And one day I'm going to engage. How many of y'all one day you're going to engage? Well, you know what? Today's the day. This is about everybody doing enough. Everybody doing enough, great things happen. You know what? As great as Hillview is, I've never seen all of us involved. And before I check out, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to see all of us just for like 30 days try it together and see what happens. Can you imagine what would happen if all of us worshiped together? If all of us prayed together. Now, how many? All of us. Now, y'all got my drift. If all of us kind of moved in faith, what would happen to this city? Well, okay. Well, if it is changing, wow, then let me ask you a question. Why don't we do it? Why don't we actually say, okay, let's make this work? I want to use, you know what? We're not lazy. We're unfaithful. Is that okay? Because I think we say lazy because we really don't like confessing our sins. See, this sounds a lot better. Lazy, doesn't it? This doesn't sound real good. Unfaithful. But really, what is it? It's really unfaithful. So guess what I'm encouraging us to do? Amp up the faith. How many of y'all ready to amp up the faith? You got to amp up the faith. Now, I'm going to tell you what faith is. Faith is being certain that God will. How many of y'all are certain that God will? Barbara, we had to exercise faith this week. You had to say see you later to your husband. I had to say see you later to a friend that was your husband. But guess what? I am confident that Jesus Christ's gospel stood good for him in heaven. Now, it made it a lot easier on us because Daryl had been baptized. He had exercised his faith. Now, some of you men, listen, y'all are killers on your wives. You really are. Because a lot of us men, we check out first anyway. Have y'all noticed that? Because we worry. No. Because we eat in remote. Huh? And guess what? Let me ask you a question. If you're going to be a person of faith. Now, I'm going to just talk straight. You know why? Guess where I was four times this week. Take a guess. Funeral home. Four times, four different people. Let me help you. All under 55. You see, all y'all sitting here doing this, you're going, man, I got time to be faithful. Really? Well, who crawled up in your head and gave you the checkout date? I mean, we got to get real about this. What's this? Young people say, well, I got all kinds of time. I'm young. Really? Because I've done some young funerals, and I've done some older funerals, and I've done some surprise funerals. And one day, mine will be the most surprising. When I looked down from heaven, I said, God, what am I doing laying in that box? He said, you up here now. Faith is being certain that God will. How many of you all have come that far? God will. I think the second thing we have to do, God can do it better than I can. How many of y'all are that far along? God knows more than me. So here's what I'm asking us as a church to do. To have faith in God to bless people. Y'all cool with that? Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. I want to show you in the Bible that the Apostle Paul came to this conclusion. That faith was the greatest thing you could exercise. But faith requires you to step. You know what Paul did? He encountered Jesus and then he preached Jesus. I want y'all to simply do this. I want you to invite your friends to church. How hard is that? Mr. Loki, you know what I know? If you invite some of your friends to Hillview, what happens to them eventually? You got two choices at Hillview. You leave or go to heaven. I like that. Hey, Jeff, what happens to you? I mean, when you walk in, what happens to you? Holy Ghost get all over you. Your wife starts smiling. Do you notice that? Okay, smile all the time. Holy Ghost. Okay, will God be there when things get tough? When you guys say, see you later to a daddy, who's there? Jesus. Now, that's when we grow up. I'm getting this real because guess what? How many of y'all are tired of going to, I call it plastic church? You know what I mean, Ken? We all walk in. Would you please open your Bibles to Philippians 3? We're going to examine the possibilities of God, but we're not going to do a thing about them. Let's just go to the lake. Let's go play golf. If we're not going to get real about this thing, then guess what? It's not going to happen. Is anybody hearing this today? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's time. I want you to know some of you all are engaged. But here's what I'm telling you today. That's not enough. I want to see what happens when all of us get engaged. Amen? We're going to pay this building off. Y'all got faith in that?
Yes, sir.
So you wrote a check today, right? Now how many of y'all got faith? That's faith. Listen, I don't want to blow you away, and I'm not a preacher that yells for money. I'm a straight-up preacher. We can pay this building off. You ready? You know how we're going to pay it off? 5, 10, and 20. If everybody, every week, 5, 10, or 20, guess what happens to that building? But it takes... Okay, 5, 10, and 20, but you missed what it really takes.
Everybody.
Everybody. Come on, say it with me. Everybody. Oh, y'all are weak today. Everybody. Come on.
Everybody.
Say it like a preacher. Everybody.
Everybody.
Now you got it. See, we don't need everybody. That's one of them sissy churches. We need everybody. We need a church getting ready to do business. 5, 10, and what? 20. How many of y'all waste $5 a week? You got $5, you don't even know where it went. Come on, be honest. Huh? I spit $5 a week. How many of y'all drink water that cost you $3? What if you just drank out of the fountain and gave you water money? Drink tap water? Yeah, that's what you're drinking for $3. How many of y'all don't know where $10 is? See, here's what I want you to know. I know what some of y'all are telling me right now. Pastor Ayers, the economy's bad. Really? I went to the Titans game last night. It's full. Didn't look like it's too bad to me. And they still buy an $8 beer. How dumb is that? $5 Cokes. $6 pretzels. In this bad economy. The economy was so bad, we were in a traffic jam getting down there. The malls are still full. The airplanes are full. I think I have to agree with my good friend, Dave Ramsey. Y'all ever hear Dave? Dave's a friend of mine. The reason I like Dave, we get along because we both can get on rants. And he got on a rant the other day. He said, this is the most successful recession he's ever seen. He says, some businesses are growing, economy's working, malls are full, airplanes are full. He said he went on vacation and he had to wait 2 hours to get in a restaurant to eat in our recessed economy. He said, we sure are doing a lot of spending to be broke. How many of y'all realize politicians lie? And let me help you. Don't be surprised. All of them. Everybody was shocked. They said, can you believe Jonathan Edwards told a lie? Yes. He's a politician. See, here's what politicians do. They tell you what you want to hear. Because they got to get voted. Kind of like a joke I heard the other day. Politician ended up going to heaven. They didn't know what to do. And guy met him at the gates. He said, well, we got a problem, sir. He said, Senator, we just really don't get a lot of y'all up here. And we're kind of in a quandary. And so since you spent all your life examining issues and details and those kind of things, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you spend 24 hours in hell. Then we're going to let you spend 24 hours in heaven. You decide. Well, he said, let me get the worst over with. I'll go to hell first. Well, he gets down there to hell. It's the best looking country club he'd ever seen in his life. Golf greens like he had never seen. And there were a lot of friends down there with him. They had fine champagne, caviar. It was a wonderful place. 24 hours is up before he knew it. Well, Pete looked at him and said, well, you got to try heaven out too. And he loved heaven. Heaven, you know, beautiful temperature, wonderful music. Didn't know as many people, but, you know, it was a nice place. And so he looked when he got back, 24 hours was up in heaven. He looked and he said, I tell you what, Saint Peter, I don't want to offend you. And I don't want to take anything away from heaven. It was beautiful. The music was good. The people were wonderful. The food was great. But I'm just more familiar with hell. Got some buddies down there. They do a lot of the things I was used to. And I just feel like I fit better there. He said, well, you made your decision. Bam! As soon as he hits hell, it's the nastiest looking place he's ever seen in his life. The sulfur, the fires, everything. The Bible said it'd be as nasty. And he is in a quandary. He said, I want to see this Satan fella now. Satan appears. He said, yeah, what's your problem? He said, where did hell go? He said, what do you mean where hell went? He said, well, yesterday I came down here for 24 hours and it was a wonderful place. He said, oh, yeah, I know. We were campaigning yesterday. You voted today. Huh? Happens that way, doesn't it? Now, listen. I want you all, listen, as a person of faith, we have faith no matter what else goes on. And so I want you to get this in your head. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do in you. How many of y'all got that rhythm in your life? Parents, I want to wake you all up, man, to an exciting way to parent. You need to look at your children and say, you know, I'm on a mission today. There's no telling what God's going to make out of you, but I'm here to help him today. I am here to make sure that you, as the child God has given me, will become everything God's created you to be. As a church, we're here to help families be everything that God will allow them to be. Do y'all feel this energy? The Apostle Paul realized this. He said, my credentials are not enough. And he said, I've changed my view of life. Look at Philippians 3, because I want you to get three things today. Our faith in God will certainly take us to heaven. Our faith in God will certainly take us where? To heaven. Nothing can stop God. And don't change your mind when things get difficult. Look what happens. Philippians 3, Paul's in an argument here with a group of people who have questioned his credentials. And he's telling people, you know, as far as the faith, I got the goods. Now, how many of y'all think you're smart enough to figure it out? Come on, how many of y'all? We got some smart people at Hillview. We really do. And we need you to use your smarts. There's nothing wrong with being smart. In fact, I think if you got to make a choice between smart and dumb, I'd choose smart. What do you all think? Some people think it's faithful to be dumb. I remember I was a part of a church and they said, are you going to that seminary? I said, yeah, I probably need to go to that seminary. And they said, well, you go up there, you lose faith. And I thought, so this was their real thinking. The less I knew, the more faithful I was. Well, you see, they had misinterpreted faith. Faith is not without knowledge. Faith is acting upon the knowledge you have. You know, when we come to the realization that Jesus Christ wants to forgive us when we ask Him, that's an act of faith. Baptism's an act of faith. Giving's an act of faith. What's worship? An act of what? Look at your neighbor and say, you could be faithful. Tell them. Hey, you know you're this far along. You were faithful enough to show up today. How many of y'all thought about doing something else today? Come on. How many of y'all like coming to church? I mean, you kind of like it. How many of y'all like it when we sing? How many of y'all like it even when it's a song you don't like? Now see, here's when you get in faithful. Even if it's not your song, you go, hey, it's somebody's song. May God be God. Now here's what Paul realized. I don't have enough credentials to do what God can do in me. Now I want to give you this concept today. Everybody doing a little bit moves great things. Because some of us want to have this big faith. And if you go to Bible study, now I'm going to tell you some things we need to do. I got to get you guys to Bible study, all right? Because here's what happens in a sermon. I don't have long enough to give you the full movie. So basically what I'm giving you for 20, 30 minutes is a trailer. You got to get the Bible study to get the detail of the characters. Now watch, here's what Jesus said. The faith of a mustard seed will do what? 5, 10, 20. But when you put everybody dedicated to God, doing a little bit, man, things that are unimaginable happen. And I'm going to tell you, nobody would have guessed Mark Owens to be involved in a church. He was a drummer from Foster and Lord. He was on the road. He was rocking and rolling. He was in Nashville. He had a child, and he saw this church on his way down to Nashville when he used to travel. He had a baby. I remember it like it was yesterday. She was 6 months old. They walked into the back of the church on a Christmas Eve service. And I never will forget Shelly. She's the beautifulest baby. She had these big old bright eyes. And Mark still had long hair. I don't know how his hair has not turned gray over the years, but it hasn't. And you know, it's just amazing what God will do with a little bit of faith. He'll keep your hair the same color. Amen. Now look at here. And Mark steps into the grace of God and ends up being a praise and worship drummer and then ends up being on staff at Hillview Heights Church working all this technology stuff out. But guess what? It started with a step of faith into a church, a mustard seed. Paul said, Jesus, you were real. And here's what he said. No matter what I've done, it's not enough. My confidence is not in what I can do, but it is in what God can do. I trust God to you all. I want to give you three things you need to do. First of all, man, be faithful in worship, okay? I know summer and we get all spread out and we get crazy, but we need to be faithful in worship. You need to be faithful to learning about what God says in your life. I'm going to tell you something we got to do, Hillview, to get it done, okay? We're going to pay that building off debt. No debt. No debt. No debt. But guess how we're going to do it? Somebody tell me. Okay, y'all going Pentecostal? You're mumbling. Bring that up to a volume now. It's what? Yeah. Am I preaching about money? I guarantee you I get email this week, though. You saying something about money. The only one of y'all send me emails is people that don't give. I've never ticked a tither off. True. Come on, it's time to get real. I had this thought the other day. What if we cut people from church? I grew back in an ancient time. Mr. Gibson, guess what? I remember when you had to make the Little League team, much less get a Hershey bar because you lost. I mean, this is the world we've created. I used to throw a fit. When Blake played a little peewee ball, they'd give out snacks after you'd lose. I said, don't you eat a thing. I said, you get back in the truck. He goes, why can't I have a snack? I said, because you lost. I want you to feel it. I said, lost people go hungry. They don't get smiley snacks. And I said, and by the way, you didn't do a good job. You fumbled the ball. And being in his culture, he said, well, other people fumbled the ball too. I'm not their father. See, I psychologically damaged my kid to be successful. I let him know there are going to be consequences. But I got to thinking about this. What if we cut people from church? I mean, if you don't worship, cut. If you don't learn things about the Bible, cut. I mean, we're not going to do this, so don't panic, okay? I see some of y'all tensing up. Some of y'all going, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. If you didn't tithe, cut. Didn't love people, cut. If you didn't take some steps to really develop a few relationships that are healthy, cut. Now, here's what I want you to know. God does not cut you out of the team, but He does engage you to faith. If you notice in the Bible, nobody's sitting. Have y'all noticed that? The only people that are sitting in the Bible are people that get washed away. For example, in the flood, Noah and his family, they took an act of what? Now listen, Noah's one of my heroes. You're talking about a crazy dude. He just blows me away to go build a boat in the desert because God told him to. People hadn't even seen rain. Knows that they're building a boat. He didn't even know how to build the boat. God had to show him how to build the boat. But you know what? When it started raining, I bet he was glad they had built a what? Now, guess what? All of his critics, guess what happened to them? They sat there and didn't engage, and guess what they did? Drowned. Now, here's what we're trying to do here. It's real simple. Philippians 3, we're trying to do this. We're making sure that people understand the power of the cross. Paul came to this conclusion. He said, I want to know the power. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His what? Death. So I might know His life. I want to give you three things that will interrupt our vision that we got to kill so that we might live a full life. You ready? If y'all got these in your lives, I'm absolutely red. Don't do this. All right? Don't do this. Things that kill potential of a church. Jealousy. Get rid of jealousy. How many of y'all are jealous people? Quit! God made you great. Quit worrying about what somebody else has got going on and just start living out God in you. Somebody with me today, I'm going to preach a little bit. You see, Paul wasn't jealous of his critics. He said, I got all your credentials. In fact, when I was studying, doing some doctoral work, there was a deep theological question there. Ayers, why would a man like you go to graduate school? I had this question also. And one of my professors looked at me and he said, Reverend Ayers, why are you here? I said, so that I can tell you you're wrong with credibility. In fact, every one of us had to do a devotion in this program. And my devotion in this Shakespearean cathedral in front of nuns and priests and in very high upper class East Coast professors, I mounted this cool looking big podium in my blue jeans and Harley shirt just to help them know there are others in the world. And the title of my devotion was, Nobody Cares About Your Stripes. Only His. People don't care that we got stripes on our robe. What they care about is, do we know how to live out His stripes? Now get rid of jealousy. God can use everybody. 5, 10, 20. How many of y'all God can use that? You could be involved in that. 5, 10, 20. I know what the devil's told some of you. I know he's told you, well, I only got $5. I mean, what's $5 in a big project? You want me to tell you what it is? $5 blessed by God. Now see, you thinking like a politician. And not like Jesus. You know what Jesus does? Jesus does, if y'all go to Bible study, you'd know these stories. It's where I learned them. Old women taught them to me. With crooked fingers. And you ain't never got the Holy Ghost till you got it through a crooked finger, buddy. It will get into you. Look at here. You know what Jesus did? He stopped the crowd. And it wasn't the big givers He was impressed with because He'd given them big things. It's this little old widow woman. And she threw in everything she had. And she goes, she gets it. She gets it. Just what you got to be used to the glory of God. Don't be jealous of somebody else. Amen? Everybody's going to do something great. Just tell your neighbor, you're going to do something great. Come on. I want you to hear that. No, you're going to do something great. I'm going to counter the TV every week from here on out. Watch this. I'm going to blow some of y'all away. I don't need the government to give me a life. I don't want the government to give me a life. I got one in Jesus Christ. So see, we got to be crucified with Christ so that we can know the power. Now let these things be, don't be jealous. Now how many of y'all are bitter too? You're mad at somebody. Okay, all right, I understand. You got to work this down. Don't be mad at humans, they all screw up. What do you think? How many of y'all going through life holding on to bitterness, bitter moments of the past? Let go. You're talking about bringing this place to life. Guess what? I know people, man, that haven't spoken to me for 15 or 20 years, and I don't even know what I said. It could have been a variety of things. And they go, you know, we're ticked off at you. I said, many people are ticked off at me. What did I say this time? You know, but guess what? That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tell you all the truth. What are you all going to get every once in a while? You're going to get ticked off. I mean, I wish I didn't have to tell you these things. Like, repent. Because you go, well, I don't want to. I know, but you got to. How many of you parents ever had to put your children in the bathtub? How many of you parents ever put your kids in the bathtub and they were kicking and screaming saying they didn't want to go? How many of y'all did it anyway? Shame on you for damaging their psychology. At least they don't stink. Amen. See, sometimes we got to hear what's good for us, even though we don't want to hear it at the moment. Get rid of bitterness. Listen, love everybody. And here's what you got to realize. Everybody messes up. True? I'm so tired of living in America's this phony culture. Got all this political correct jazz just drives me out of my mind. I feel like I'm being led by those chipmunks from Disney. No, you go. No, you go. It is what it is. Sometimes I'm a pain in the neck and other anatomy regions. And I need to repent and straighten up. That's a fact. We got to get over this. You know why people got to be politically correct? Because they don't love one another. When you love one another, you can tell the what? Truth. You see, Jesus, he always tells me the truth because he's not bitter at me, even though I've disappointed him over and over again. One of the great signs of spiritual maturity is the way you forgive and love. See, it's about forgiveness. You stay bent at people all the time, that's a sure sign you have no idea who Jesus is. He said, well, Pastor Ayers, I've been to Master Life Bible Study. Guess what Jesus says? Whoopity-doo. Well, Pastor Ayers, I went to seminary. Whoopity-doo. Pastor Ayers, I can read the Bible backwards. Whoopity-doo. Do you know how to love like I love? Because that takes the power of the cross. Okay? And then do this too. You ready? Here's the third thing that'll kill the vision of our church. Selfishness. Not my way, not your way, not the people's way, but God's way. How many of y'all are always demanding your own way? Any of y'all married? Elizabeth and I have a contest every Monday. Every Monday. Who's going to get their way this week? Any of y'all do that in marriage? Man, I just need to be like, come to y'all's house and learn how to have the perfect marriage. I feel so disappointed. I mean, did any of y'all ever do that? I mean, I want my way a lot of times. Any of y'all like that? Or am I just talking? I mean, I want my way. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm sneaky. I strategize to get my way. Any of y'all do that? I remember one time I just brought Elizabeth some flowers. I don't know. It just hit me. It's probably the Holy Ghost because I've only done it once in 24 years of marriage. I mean, I get guaranteed flowers. You know what I mean? I learned how to do that. But I call those taken for granted flowers. You know, a birthday or what's flower day? Valentine's. An anniversary. Yeah, that, you know, but that's required. I mean, listen, guys, if you ain't doing that, you're in trouble right off the bat. That's standard. One day, I just got her some flowers, like, I think I saw them selling them on the side of the road, and they looked pretty good, and they wasn't that expensive. They discounted them. Hey, that's not the price of the... It's the thought. I brought Elizabeth these flowers. And you know what? She looked at me and she said, what have you done? See? Not here. I want to bless you. Because she said, you've done something. I said, what do you mean I've done something? See, she knew I was strategizing to what? And I said, I hadn't done anything. Then guess what her next question was?
What do you want?
What you want? So I know if I was trading roses for Harleys, I was making a good trade. See what I'm saying? Let's try that. But guess what? Guess what? It's to purely love each other. And I'm going to give you the secret, and we're going to get out of here, all right? We got to get a rhythm. Tell your neighbor we got to get a rhythm. I see a great future because we're in Jesus Christ. I don't know what the economy's going to do, and I don't know the future. And neither does anybody else. You say, well, how high is gas going to get? I don't know. I don't worry about that. I live in Kentucky. If y'all know anything about Kentucky history, we've been distilling alternative fuels for a long time. Just think, Eastern Kentucky may become the new Saudi Arabia. I don't know. We can run white lightning trucks in Kentucky, especially in the eastern part. You know, we'll figure it out. Amen. But you know what our job is in the church? Be faithful to God. Paul said here's what he'd learned to do. And I think he'll view this as where we are. We're going to build that facility, and I'm praying we're going to be out of debt. We need about $1.5 million, somewhere in there by this time next year. Guess how we get there? That, thank you, Kay. One more time. Everybody faithing. Let me ask you a question. Is that asking too much? Come on, I really want to be honest. Come on, take me on right now. Don't send me one of them coward emails. Here I am. Let's duel it out. What's God ask us to do? Tithe. I'm not coming off it. I really want you to tithe. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to tithe. And if you're not good at math, God knew that, 10%. I think God's pretty good, don't you? I've never had the government take as little as 10% from me. The reason God can run on 10% because he'd never buy a $500 hammer or a $6,000 toilet. God would get him a new toilet manufacturing company. He'd go, you're out, you're in. 10%. If we did that as a church, guess what? Here's what I hope we get to one day. You tithe 10% of what God gives you into the faith work that God's called us into, we never have to talk about money. Isn't that cool? I like that. Don't you, Rod? Just go get it done. That's what I like about you, Rod. You're just a get it done kind of guy. I just want us to get it done. Is that all right? That's all I'm going to say about it. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this fall, we got a lot of people to go to heaven. Y'all ready to see people go to heaven? That's our whole main objective here at Hillview. You know why we need to go to heaven? You're going to die. Some of you are going, well, I think I'm going to be here for a long time. You'll be the first one out. I think we got to live. And Paul said, this is the way I live. He said, I don't act like I've already achieved everything. I don't act like I've already conquered all things. I don't act like I already know everything. Look what he said I do. Paul said this. Not that I've already obtained all this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now I want you to stand up on this. You can't sit down and be a church sitter on this one. You ready? Y'all got that? So we forget what's behind. We look forward to what's ahead. You ready for this? Check this out in the scripture. I press on. Tell your neighbor we got to press a little bit here. Y'all feeling a little pressed today? If you're not, I can pick it up. We need to be pressed. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. In Christ Jesus. How many of y'all glad to know today that every person here who has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is heaven bound? I want you to hear that reality. So, Dave, why do I need to be jealous of somebody else when we're going to the same place? that cool? Why should I be bitter? If Jesus can forgive a sinner like me, why can't I forgive others who've hurt me? That's real faith. And then guess what? I found that my way does not go as far as Jesus' way. God's way goes all the way into guess where? Heaven. My way is limited to really South Central Kentucky. And y'all may not believe this. There are other parts of the world other than South Central Kentucky. Now, I'm not saying there's good. No, really. There's places everywhere and God loves them all. But He wants to take us all where, Eric? Heavenward. How many of y'all ready to take His church heavenward? All right, here's our mission. You ready? I'm going to call you to the altar. Right now, you can even start coming. I got to do this. Y'all listening? Y'all give me a nod or something. Y'all look like First Baptist here all of a sudden. Come on, give me a nod. Wake you up. I can talk about them because that's my family, all right? So watch this. You ready? I'm going to call the church into about 30 days of prayer. And so every service, I need you coming to pray, okay? Now, this is not, we got to do this. I've asked you to not what? Carrie, I'm putting you on the court. You got it? Can't have you over here handing out towels. We got to be shooting balls, dribbling. All right? We got to be involved. I need every one of us to be involved in prayer. If your knees hurt like mine do, you can come sit on the front. And we're going to pray every service. Three things we're going to pray. First of all, God, involve us in your worship. Let's be faithful to worship. Okay? Secondly, every one of us is going to have to give 5, 10, or 20. I don't know your financial situation, and here's what's cool about this church. I don't know what anybody gives. Your lead pastor doesn't know what anybody gives. I never have known what anybody gives, and I don't want to know what you give. Is everybody clear on that? The reason I go over that, we got a lot of new people here at Hillview, okay? We got a lot of new people that have come to Hillview, and guess what? Guess what? They don't know anything about the big dream or why we're building a building. The reason we're building is because people at Hillview Heights Church have children all the time. That's what the families at Hillview Heights Church are about. So we got families that have 3 children, 4 children, 10 children. We got people having children. Right now, we have pregnant women everywhere. There's one scripture text I will never preach on in this church. Be fruitful and multiply. I will never preach that here. We'll have to build 6 buildings. Now, we're going to have kids, and I love kids, okay? 5, 10, and 20, blesses of kids. Am I being direct enough? Is this being clear enough? So next week, if you're going to have faith, you got to do this. You got to say, I may have one. You got to look in here, and you got to say, well, let me see what I need to do. Oh, Lord, I only have $2. I only have 2 what? Pastor Mark, I only have what?
$2.
$2. He said, Lord, in faith, I want to give you these $2. He said, well, that don't sound like what? Much. But see, we're going to start praying for crazy things. You know what I'm going to pray? Every one of you get a job. Every one of you don't have a job, I'm going to let the Lord heal you financially. We're going to get you a job. Mary, I bet you need some good workers, don't you? I didn't say lazy people. I'm talking good workers. We're going to send them healed to you, brother. They'll be able to work a shovel. You know what happens when you work a shovel? Anybody know? Come on, I'm talking miracles today. You work a shovel, guess what you'll do? Make money. You flip a hamburger, guess what you do? You fix a car, guess what you do? And you know what I found? I want to give you all some hope. Everybody is in need of hiring a worker. You say, well, they're not hiring anybody. You need to get a little swagger about you and say, yeah, but they hadn't seen me. You know what I found? If you can work harder than everybody else, guess what they'll do? It's an amazing thing. Even in the 21st century political correct era, where we all hold hands and have snacks after the game, no matter what happens, those who apply their faith and press, strain, and know, start dropping heaven on earth. Amen. 5, 10, 20. Now, here, this is the most important thing. You need to invite your friends to church. How many of y'all want to see your friends in heaven with you? You need to get a passion with that. Part of faith is this. I believe you can be saved because I believe Jesus saves people and He loves people. Paul got that attitude. You say, well, what happened to Paul? He got exiled on an island and got his life done with. He said, I consider it all glory for the sake of knowing Jesus. You get a church like that, the world will be different. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to be saved today. And I want you all to begin to pray. And I hope you come to the altar and pray today. 30 days, okay? From this Sunday, start and pray. And just pray those three things. God, move in our worship. God, move in our giving. And God, let us invite people to come and hear what the gospel could do to their life. Is that cool? Here's what I'm asking you to give. 5, 10, and 20 until we get the building paid off. Now, if you make a lot of money, that's different. I'm talking if you ain't got, I'm tired of people not having a lot. Man, let's start there and see what God does with it. Amen? Is that cool? That's the only plan I know. I don't have all these fancy number plans. There's the plan. He said, well, how come you didn't set an exact amount of what that'll raise? Because I don't know who's going to be faithful. But I'm asking you to be faithful in the name of Jesus, okay? Cool deal? That's above and beyond the tithe. See what happens. Say, well, Lord, all I can do is tithe and five. See what he does with your life. We got to get it paid for. Now listen, buildings get paid for when we pay up. I mean, can't make it any more spiritual than that. The construction workers are not going to accept John 3:16 as payment. You know, I can't go out there and just throw some holy water on them and they go, man, I feel blessed today. Hey, no charge for this. They like to feed their families also. Amen. And you know what? I'm excited about building right now. You know why? We got people that have jobs because God decided to build right now. That's pretty cool. You know? And where the world thinks it's impossible, God always makes it possible. Now that brings us to this. Today, if you need to ask Jesus in your life, it's possible. Not only is it possible, it is absolute that he will forgive you of all your sin. You will be made new and you will never, never live a life like you can in Christ. So why don't you say, Lord Jesus, come in my life, forgive me, save me, bless me. Some of you need to come and be baptized. That's an act of what? Faith. Giving's an act of faith. Worship's an act of faith. You showing up today is an act of faith. All right, I've said enough. Has everybody been clear today? Yeah or nay? Talk to me, church. All right, let's bring this together. Lord, we open this altar up right now. We pray for those who are coming to receive Christ. We pray for those that are coming to pray. We pray for those who are coming and saying, Lord, I know great things can happen when we all do it together. And Lord, I want us to pray very concentrated from now till after Godstock, the Sunday after Godstock, when we launch this faith forward. So God, I just pray now for those who you're drawing to be saved, to be baptized, to be healed, to be encouraged. That you would bless their lives richly in all that they do. In the name of who?
Jesus.
Guess what, church? Y'all come, will you? Nobody's left out today. But I'll tell you what I'm thankful. Come on, I've opened this altar up to prayer. Please don't stand there anymore. That's part of the block of what's going on here. God needs churches that are faithful. Come to the altar. Or come up front and get on your knees and say, God, I want to be my part of everything. Doesn't have to be big. Faith of a what? Move a mountain. So come be the mustard seed today. Come be saved today. Come be baptized today. Come be healed today. Don't stand there today. Don't sit there today. Don't be a church sitter. Let God have you right now. Come on, church. In the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, I ask you to take us to a place that we might even be scared to go, but you let our faith be released. Amen. Come on, let's pray together as a church. Come on. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.